I'm Nicole McCants, a psychologist turned business coach for psychotherapists. It was not long ago when I was in solo private practice, seeing way too many clients feeling overwhelmed and burnt out. In 2016, when I became pregnant with twins, I knew I had to scale to a group practice because I couldn't keep working that much. I was sick of hitting the ceiling in my income and knew that the only way to make more money and help more people was expanding my practice. In 3 short years, I was able to scale it to 55 therapists and multiple 7 figures. Once I was able to reach that goal, I had to take it to my peers. I'm here to teach you how to scale your solo practice to a group or take your group practice to the next level. We didn't learn anything about business in graduate school, so I created the Business Savvy Therapist podcast, where I share easy to implement business and marketing strategies so you can help more people, make more money, and have more freedom. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Business Savvy Therapist. You are in for a treat today. Another round of rapid fire coaching. You listen to me coach one of my members live. Welcome to the show, Kate. I'm so happy you're here.
Hello. Thank you for having me. My name is Kate Bennett. I'm a clinical sports psychologist here in Denver, Colorado, and I have a recently started group practice. I've got 3 people within my group in addition to myself.
Wow. I feel like that happened in the last month.
You know, the last 2 months. I went through, as we had talked, I had done that one round of interviewing and it didn't work out. So I did a second round and I found 2 amazing clinicians. So I added a sports psychiatrist and then now I have 2 associates underneath me that I'm supervising.
Oh my gosh. Wow. It's amazing what 60 days can do.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Let's jump right in. What is your first question?
Yeah. So my first question is, like I had mentioned, I've got 2 new associates who I'm training and I've gone through the process. I've systemized everything. But what I have found is one of my associates is quite younger. I would say she's more millennial generation. And one is mid 40s, a little bit older. So 2 totally different generations and in life experiences. And so I'm just really curious, Nicole, how you have managing multiple generations. I find that my younger person, super tech savvy, she's teaching me stuff, how to do it on the computer and how to optimize situations. And my other person is like really slow going and taking a lot of hand holding and training despite having provided all the links and Jane having so much resource. And so
yeah,
I'm just really curious how you've maybe optimized training so that you're not spending so much time training on your own.
Yeah, I love this. This is such a good question. I mean, I'm in my 40s and I would say I'm tech savvy, so it's generational, but I would say I'm going to be 43. So I think anything over that, I notice though, there is a struggle or they just do it in 5 steps when there's a way to do it in 1 step. So the efficiency is not there. I would like to have a conversation about how people learn though. So everybody listen up. When we are training, it's like implementing accelerated learning. So that means teaching them in multiple ways. I don't love reading. I actually learn auditorily. And I wonder, Kate, how do you learn? Do you remember from school? So did you learn by listening to the prof or going home and doing the readings?
I was both. I was listening and reading. I have to see things visually.
You're very visual. Yeah. I'm sure I teach you this. Did you implement Loom in your manuals? And what I love about Loom is it's visual. It's a screen recording. It's auditory and there's a transcript. I have somebody on my team that has to read. Like even if you show her a Loom, she needs to read the transcript. So we'll pull the transcript from Loom. So I wonder, knowing that, could we ask this person how best they learn and then it'll be accelerated because we're teaching them in a way that makes sense for their brain, their processing speed, all the things. It's being tech savvy. She doesn't have the skills maybe, right? Like she just hasn't been around like computers from the day she was born, like the millennials, but really tapping into, yeah, how can I best support the way that you learn?
Right. And I love that. I think it is learning style because yes. I feel like I've provided so many resources, but maybe those are not the right resources for her. She has said she's very visual and she takes lots of notes and listens. So maybe that's also part of these being my first employees is just like not having all of the systems in place for different learners yet.
And just tweaking. Exactly. Right. What I did is I tended to onboard on a Monday. Typically, that's just kind of how it works. And then I would let them run with it. Go do JNAP, like put all your, you know, run with all the things. And then I found that that could be a lot of information at once and people were missing things. So I ended up chunking it. And my office manager, and we'll talk about that. Do you have an admin yet? Remind me.
I do. She's virtual, so pretty minimal.
Okay. One day she'll be doing this, which is amazing. And she would break it into chunks. So I don't know. Have you done that? The truth is nobody retains anything after 90 minutes. I truly believe we're not great after sitting for that long. So having extended breaks, you know, having multiple sessions.
Yeah, that's a good point because I think I have like a 2-hour training block and I probably totally overloaded her with way too much information. I think it was just because I have them on shift. So I was like, oh, this is your first shift. We're training today. Let's make good use of our time.
And 2 hours actually isn't bad. I think we sat them down for like 4 hours. So actually 2 hours is great. I would say that's chunking. Ideally, I think 90 minutes with like a break, but then I would give them a few days to, because I think we all learn the best through experience. I need to do, everyone's going to tell you that. I need to do it. Give them a couple days of doing. We would always do a follow-up training session on a Friday and bookend it because there were so many questions. So we opened up a training slot on the Friday where it's like, now that you did it, come and bring me all the things and tell me how I can support you.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. Maybe that's where I was also lacking is that I had the training, but because they didn't have patience, I didn't have any follow-up. I was like, well, just learn. And when you get your first person, you walk through it, but if you don't get to practice, it's hard to know what to do when you finally get that first person.
Yes. And they could practice. So what we would do is create a dummy patient, right? So this is not a real existing patient. And they would go in there and play around and cancel an appointment, reschedule, send the receipt, like all those things. I think that's important.
That's a good idea. The dummy patient.
Yes.
Because I tried to use Jane's like fake clinic that they offer. But they were having a hard time getting in and using it. So I like the dummy patient idea.
Yes, yes, exactly. Amazing. So hopefully that is helpful. And here's the great news. Tech is a skill. And so once we can meet her where she's at and how she processes information the most efficiently, she'll get it.
Mm-hmm.
She'll get it.
Yeah. Awesome. Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. What's your second question?
So my second question is about leadership. I have, like I said, 3 people underneath me. My psychiatrist is an independent contractor. The 2 clinicians, the associates that I've hired, they're both very strong leaders. And they're coming to me with very different backgrounds, but also a lot of excitement to grow the practice and to be a part of Athlete Insight. And so I'm just curious from your perspective, I've often heard that when people hire, they hire people who aren't ambitious or don't have goals of being, you know, a practice owner themselves one day. I feel like I've hired 2 entrepreneurs who are so excited to grow Athlete Insight with me, which is, I think, a wonderful blessing.
What a dream.
Mm-hmm. But I also feel like there's this huge responsibility now to nurture these leaderships and their entrepreneurial minds to give them space to grow too within the practice. So they don't want to run pretty quickly.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. I want to help you offload this feeling of pressure. You said the word responsibility. The beautiful thing is they probably want to be collaborative. And I would love for you to, what I call, throw that hot potato. Whenever I feel a lot of pressure, like, oh gosh, how do I do this perfectly? Or I have to be the best boss or all this, you know, I'm not sleeping at night because of it. What I mean by throw the hot potato is ask them, and I'm sure you have, but I want to throw it out there and then you can tell me what you know already. Share with them, I would love for this to be your dream job. And as a side note, Kate, you're so lucky because they're going to help you grow. They're going to help you take this to the next level. This could be your future, absolutely, clinical lead, supervisor, like who knows? And so have you had this conversation with them? We're like, what are your goals within this company?
I haven't. I mean, my original question was, how long do you see yourself staying?
And what did they say?
They both said 2 or more years. I think they both realize they have a lot to learn and I have a lot of value to teach them. That was part of my original vetting process and interviewing anybody.
Can I jump in about that?
Yeah.
Just because this is important. I wouldn't take anybody less than 2 years because you give them so much. 2 years flies by in this life, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm happy. Yeah. I would also, if it was 2 years, I was okay with it. But anything less than that felt like, ugh, I don't know if that's worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, having onboarded them for a month, I completely agree.
There you go.
Like they only gave me 2 years, I'd only get 23 months out of them before they left.
Right. Yes.
But so I have not asked them though, like what would make this your dream job? I'm getting a lot of feedback of this is awesome. This is wonderful. You're teaching me so much. So I think there's a lot of enthusiasm, but I have not asked what would make this your dream job? What would make this something you want to stick around for?
Here's three questions I want you to ask, and this is really exciting. I'll usually do this at the 90-day mark because I want them to get their feet wet. I want our relationship to be past the honeymoon phase and let them kind of feel a part of something. And it takes about 90 days for the questions to settle. They'll be less because, of course, you're systemized. But here's what you're going to ask them. I have three questions for you. What is your revenue goal within my group practice? And if they say, I want to make $100,000, perfect. Let's do the math. How many clients would that take? You know, maybe eventually we can work to increasing your rate a bit once your retention is there. Number two, okay, so number one, retention. Number two, what is your growth goal in the company? So meaning, do you want to be a supervisor, do assessments? They might surprise you. I had one person say, I want to be the department head of assessments. I'm like, oh my gosh, I hate assessments. Go for it. You know? Okay. Growth goal. Number three, what is your lifestyle goal? Maybe they want an extra week of vacation. That's good to know now. And something, it's not that you have to give it in the 90 days, of course. This is something that you're going to work towards collaboratively for the next year. And they will stay because here's the thing. They get to reach all their goals. They don't have to go anywhere. They get to reach all their goals within your group practice. And when they grow, you grow.
Right. That's awesome. So really helping them to understand that not only do I want them to stick around for my own benefit, but I want to create a place where they can grow and develop and have the fulfillment they desire from their career.
Oh my gosh. And I promise no other group practice is asking this at all. They're just going to be like, oh, I can have my own little business within yours. That's beautiful. Why would I go anywhere when you're doing all the work? This is amazing. And I still reach my revenue goals.
Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you.
Hey, have you heard about my free 3-day live course? It's called How to Build a 7-Figure Group Practice That Runs Without You. Day one, you'll learn the one thing you need to scale. Day two, you'll learn the two must-have questions to ask before you hire. And day three, I'm going to teach you how to fill your group practice spending less than an hour a week on marketing. Join me live. I cannot wait to answer all of your questions. See you there. Okay, question number three.
Yeah. So my third question was in kind of along the similar line of being new to group practices. I have found that I am very good at marketing myself. I know what I know and I know what I'm good at and I know the experience and education I have. So I'm really confident discussing myself as a provider and as a professional. I'm curious, how did you change that to start talking about what your group offers as a whole? Like instead of marketing yourself as an individual, how did you like transition to learning how to market your group as a whole?
Yeah. Here's the good news. I teach you digital marketing. So your website messaging is going to do a lot of it. Not just the messaging, but the feel, the pictures. You're going to be sending ads to that. So that is hopefully, I don't want you to rely on your time and effort, Kate, because you know, the truth is you probably want a little bit more freedom in the end, right? Mm-hmm. That's why you join my program, maybe. And the thing about time and effort is it's a bit of a roller coaster because you might go and meet all the people. And I know you have a lot of connections. So yes, of course do that. But when you stop, I find sometimes the referrals can slow and then you have to put more time and effort in. And So no, we'll lean on your website. That's my first question. Do you feel that your website does a good job at marketing them, quote, selling them?
I do. I think it does a good job selling the business.
The brand. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think a lot of the brand is built upon me, like who I am and expertise I've brought. And so I think there could be some tweaking maybe to represent. And that's where I actually have them writing a lot of blogs, like trying to create their presence on the website too, of giving them some street cred.
You might want to connect with our branding expert there because I would love in a perfect world to separate you and the group practice. It's no longer about you and it's amazing because it's not your name. So that you did. Mm-hmm. That's really good. And then what we're eventually going to do is take you off of the online booking. Or if you still want that available, we'll put you at the bottom where you're not offering the consults. You're actually at the bottom of the Our Team page because you're showcasing them. The website is all about them. So I wonder if you want to do just a quick QA check of the website where you tweak the wording where it's the brand now and not you. That's freedom. That's a beautiful thing when you're like, wow, now I'm making this impact but it's a brand that's making it, and I am separate.
Mm-hmm. Do you, though? I'm curious, and I realize I'm in a bit of, I'm very niche, but so like right now I have a ton of schools and club sports contacting me wanting to contract and hire Athlete Insight to provide mental health and sport and performance services, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But when I speak to it, I have experience working with Olympians and Paralympians and world champions. Like it's me. So I can't mm-hmm. think my whole team has this. So I think right now it kind of is like I am that niche person with all of the experience with athletes.
Okay. You know what we can do? Maybe on Tuesday, I might have you bring, it's called an elevator pitch. I kind of hate that term, but that's what we'll call it, where you can say Athlete Insights. That's what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Your practice. Athlete Insights helps people in this way. Do you know what I mean? Where people want to know how you solve their problem point blank. That's really what they care about. How are you going to help me? And how do I book? So I think just tweaking that a little might actually get you to like write it out a few times, because that's a really good point that I think that a lot of listeners are also struggling with. It's a conversation you've had, Kate, for how many years?
10.
Right. 10 years. Exactly. So it's, for me, that was a bit hard too. It's like tweaking, like, wait a minute, it's not me anymore. But in the end, it's what you offer and how it's going to help them and solve their problems. And on the website, it'll say, here's the history of the other people we've helped.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But separating yourself.
Yeah.
I think it's just practice.
Okay. Yeah. And I think that's why I was asking you, because I'm, like I said, I can talk to my experience, but even just the we, right? Because I'm clumped into the we, but it's not the focus on me anymore.
Exactly. We. If I go to your website, does it say we support athletes?
I think so, because I have to double check, but I had it. I actually just had my whole website redone and branded with the idea of becoming a group practice. So there is a lot of we.
Perfect.
But there is still a good amount of focus on me.
Yeah. Okay. So our branding expert, there's three things. What problem do you solve? Mm-hmm. How does it help me? And what's my next step? How do I book?
Right.
That's what they really care about. Yeah. I love the book Story Brand. And that's why we have our branding expert is from the Story Brand. You have to read that book, guys. It's so good. You will love it. They talk all about we're not the hero. So people actually don't care as much as we think they do about who we worked with, our bio. And I think that's where a lot of therapists lose prospects on their website and it doesn't convert, because they're talking about, I started this practice in 19 years ago, and it's called this because that's my grandfather's name. They don't care. They're in distress and they're glancing and skimming and they're just like, oh, do I feel connected? Do I know, like, do I feel that they could help me? Oh, wow. Okay. I feel empathy here. I'm going to book.
Yeah.
And the book walks us through. We're not the hero. Let them be the hero.
Yes. And I do. I actually had a Story Brand expert write mine in the States. So I think my first page is that. I think the about page is me. So maybe there's the about page.
Oh my gosh. And you are, so that's easy. I would just have her like quickly read it, make some tweaks, and you're mm-hmm. done.
Awesome. Perfect.
So good. I'm so excited. It's all about these little tweaks that make exponential difference. I would love for you to share with people. You've been in the program now for eight months, something like that. Share a little bit about what you were struggling with coming in and how that changed.
When I started, I actually started the program with the goal of clarity. I had been interviewing people, group practice owners, for probably 2 years. Do I want to? Do I not want to? Do I want to? Do I not want to? I'm a turtle and change. And so I started this program with the goal of just deciding, what am I going to do? And if I put a lot of money into the decision, I'll at least make a decision.
I love that.
That was kind of my goal. Like, if I'm going to spend the time then and the money on it, I'll at least come to a decision and I can be at peace with that decision and move on. And through that program, there, I really found it was the fear of the unknown. It wasn't that I didn't want to do it, but it was, if I do it, what does that look like and how will that impact me in my life? Because I had a very successful business and I was doing quite well, but I also started to find myself feeling very burnt out. So I knew I needed to diversify myself in some ways. And so I really found in doing the program, I found the clarity that I wanted to make this decision and go ahead and take the leap and invest in the growth and development of my group practice. But two, and it's funny, right? Because I talk about fear all the time with sports and athletes, but like the idea that the unknown wasn't so horrible, and you gave me a roadmap to discovering and navigating the unknown. So I didn't feel so alone in it. And so I have found that I love supervising. I didn't know that before. I love supervising these clinicians I brought on. So there's this new breath and energy about the work that I'm doing. And I also found that this is actually brand new, but I was just looking at my metrics and I personally have had a slow month with my practice. People have gone off to college, and September is just slow for me. That's my slow month. But my practice still made the same amount it has every other month this year, which was pretty sweet that I worked less, but I still made the same amount.
Yes, it's happening. Oh my gosh, I'm so happy. I love what you also wrote that, well, first of all, guys who are listening, there's so much on the other side of fear. You didn't know that you're meant to be a supervisor. And I love what you wrote that I actually love teaching. Oh, wow. What a surprise that I'm finding new ways of growth, like personal growth and professional growth. Oh, I'm so happy for you. It's amazing.
Thank you. Well, thank you for all the guidance along the way.
Yeah, my pleasure. Hopefully all this was helpful. Thank you so much for being here. And everyone else, I can't wait to chat with you next week. See you soon. Thank you for listening to the Business Savvy Therapist podcast. I hope this episode was helpful. I would be so grateful if you would share this with a peer or colleague that is wanting to help more people make more money and have more freedom. Make sure to subscribe so you do not miss any new episodes, and please do leave me a review. It would mean the world to me. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you in the next one.